I want to take a different look at faith this morning, because faith as it is in the scripture is not exactly always what we think it is. And it's very, very unique just on how it's put in the scripture. Most people don't look at it and know and understand the full complex thing of faith. There was a little boy who went to Sunday school. He was riding on the church bus. Hadn't been going to Sunday school very long. You know, I remember the church bus thing. I used to drive the church bus for our church, you know, when I was younger. And you know, you pick people up, and normally it was kids, but sometimes you had some adults that, you know. I was telling Vanessa this morning, my grandmother took me to church every Sunday. She didn't drive. Well, we went with a neighbor, you know, but she always, you know, I think I was the only grandchild that really went to church with her on a regular basis. And it wasn't really because I wanted to go to church, but I just liked doing stuff with my grandmother, you know. I was kind of close to her. I was the oldest grandson in the family. So I've been around the longest. And, you know, but this little boy, he's riding on the bus, and he had gone to Sunday school, and they had given him a card that morning. And the card had a really nice picture on it, and it said, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. And so the little boy, he's sitting there, and he's holding his card, and he's really looking at it, and all of a sudden, it slipped out of his hand, and it went out the window of the bus. And the little boy starts shouting. He says, "Stop, stop, I've lost my faith in God." And the bus driver stopped, and he went out, and he retrieved the card. And one of the adults sitting there says, "Oh, the innocence of children." And another adult said, "Maybe we ought to all think about losing our faith in God, because sometimes we do." That's a true statement. Yeah, sometimes faith is not always faith. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. First off, in the Old Testament, last week, what were we studying about last week? Brother Andy preached. Okay, it wasn't me, remember. What did he preach on? Okay, Genesis. And what was it about in Genesis? Mercy. Did he talk about Abraham at all? Yeah, he did. Well, if you know the story in Genesis, and you find it there, it said that Abraham's faith was counted for what? Righteousness. Now, I want you to understand, that's kind of a oxymoron to be there, and that's that Old Testament verse like that. Because, see, the Hebrew meaning of faith was different. The Hebrew meaning of faith was different than the Greek meaning of faith. So when Paul wrote his stuff, he wrote in the Greek, and the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew, and so faith had different meanings. And we look at it and say, well, wait a minute. How can faith have different meanings? Well, faith has multiple meanings in Hebrew, one of which is questioning and hesitating. Doesn't sound like faith, does it? Questioning and hesitating. Well, I don't see that Abraham questioned or hesitated anywhere. I mean, God told him, he says, "Take your family and leave, hit the road," and he says, "Okay." He didn't even stop and think about it. He was concerned about the people that he was leaving there, because he knew Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. But as far as him taking off and going to another country, going into an area that he had no clue what was there, he did it. So there was no question and hesitating. So I looked up another from the Hebrew, and I'm going to give it to you here. This is from the Hebrew dictionary. And faith, from a Hebrew perspective, is different than faith from our Western mind perspective, or the New Testament perspective is what I'll say. The Hebrew word for faith means supporting action. Supporting action. Okay, so what's that do? Supporting action. Well, let's take a look at that. Do you think Moses had faith? Okay. Now, Moses was told to stand and hold his arms up. As long as he held his arms up, what happened? They were winning the battle. But what happened if his arms went down? They were losing the battle. Okay. So, what did Aaron and Ur do? They went and held his hands up. That's what faith in the Hebrew expression is, supporting action. Aaron and Ur supported Moses. Okay? Now, when I say that that's kind of different, is that what you think about faith? Do you think your faith is a supporting action? Or is faith something different? The Greek word for faith says it's a conviction in the believing of the truthfulness of God. A little stronger, isn't it? Paul took it a little better. Now, when you go back and look at that Old Testament verse, it says, unto Abraham, his faith was considered as righteousness. What kind of faith do you think Abraham had? I don't think it was the Hebrewic faith. I think it was a strong conviction in the believing of God. Think about this. When Abraham was 75 years old, okay, God came to him and did what? Gave him a promise, right? He said, you will be the father of many nations. Many nations. And Aaron says, okay, yeah, I understand that, God, but I don't have any heirs. I don't have any sons. Okay? And God said, well, it's going to happen. And y'all know the story. Well, maybe you don't, but I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you some of the story. Is Abraham went told Sarah, and Sarah, of course, she's like, it's not going to happen. You know? I'll believe it when I see it, because I don't believe it right now. That was Sarah's reaction. And so we look at that aspect, and what did Sarah do? Huh? She laughed. Well, that's later. That's when she's even older. What did she do then? She went to Abraham, and she said, Abraham, she said, I really don't think it's going to happen. Take my handmaiden. Take my handmaiden and have a son to be the heir to you. Do you ever find yourself trying to help God in a supporting role? You know, you ever watch movies and stuff like that? You have a main character, but you have all this supporting role characters, right? Well, God doesn't want us to be in a supporting role and trying to help him in making the decisions, does he? You know? When he told Abraham that, his idea wasn't, hey, Sarah, go out and get help. You decide how it's going to happen, Sarah. Don't worry about it. You just do what you think is right. And Sarah's like, okay, this is what I do. And so Sarah was showing you the faith that the Hebrewic term talks about. You're supporting something. Now, think about it. Everyone has faith. Okay? Everyone has faith. How many of you have ever walked on ice? Huh? Where's your faith? Huh? You were hoping beyond hope that that ice was going to hold. Now, what happens if you walk on thin ice? Huh? Does your faith get shaky or does the ice break? See, the Greek thing of faith that Paul brings forth. And Paul said the exact same statement in Romans to Abraham's faith was considered to him as righteousness. Said the exact same statement. But see, Paul was looking at faith from a different way. And Paul was saying his faith was his conviction in believing the truthfulness of God. Not supporting God in Sarah's faith was the Hebraic side. And so when you go out in that thin ice, I can go out in thin ice and say, I have faith that this ice is going to hold me. Bye. You know? I have faith that the, you know, have you ever went out on thick ice and you kind of went like this? Huh? Well, wait. If it's thick, it's going to hold you, right? I mean, hey, up in some of those lakes up north, what do? When they freeze over, they ride their four-wheelers out on the, you know, they go out there with their Jeeps and their trucks and everything else, and they ride on the ice. Huh? So that means I have little faith, right? Because I don't trust the ice. And I have great faith if I go out in the thin ice and fall through. See, that's where faith can get convoluted in what it is. And so we look at it and says, okay, faith as it's described by Paul is you have faith in something. So faith in the New Testament is faith in an object. Okay? I have faith in the ice. I have faith. You know, when I was 440 pounds, you can ask my wife, I'd go up to something. That's how I sat down on something that wasn't in my house. Because I wasn't sure if it was going to hold me at 440 pounds. Some things didn't. You know? So faith is in the New Testament on the object. So faith is built on God, then that's accountable to righteousness. Faith, if the object of your faith is God, guess what? Your faith is working in the right direction. Like I said, everybody has faith. We look at some people and they have little faith, we feel sorry for them. Some people have desperate faith. And we look at it and say, oh, wow, they're only having faith because they're desperate. You know, we'll pray for them. Some people you look at and you say, man, they have such strong faith. And what do? We admire them. You know, everybody has some sort of faith. But see, what we should be looking at is what is the object of the faith? If the object is thin ice, thus the term, he's walking on thin ice. When you walk on thin ice, you don't walk very long. Yeah? When you look at Peter, he stepped out of the boat and started across the water, right? What did it say? Did it say he didn't have enough faith? No. What it said was, he took his eyes off of God. I'm looking at God. God was the object of my faith, and I'm walking on water. He took his eyes off of God and started to look at the waves coming up around him. And what happened? He started to sink because the object of his faith was different. It wasn't that he didn't have faith. He had faith. But he started to direct that faith in the object around him, and he started to look at these circumstances, and he says, I'm in trouble. And that's what happens to us many, many times, is our lives go around the circumstances that happen in our lives. Okay? Sarah, the circumstance was she's 65 years old because Abraham was 75 when God came to him and said, I'd give you a great nation. Now, what we talked about last week was God came back and Abraham was how old? Huh? You forget from last week? Jane, I can't read your lips with that mask on, so I know you're saying something back there. When you're hard of hearing, right, Phyllis? You're hard of hearing? You're used to watching people's lips because that helps you to understand what they're saying. I'm deaf in one ear. These masks that we wear cause me more problems than breathing. You know? Because I'm used to reading lips. If I go to someone and they're talking in a quiet voice and I'm like, I can't hear them. I can't read their lips. And I'll say to them, you have to speak up because I can't hear you and I can't read your lips. You know? When God came back to Abraham, how old was he? 100. 25 years. Think about this. If God made you a promise, have you ever heard from God? Have you ever heard from God? Sometimes it's like a slap up the head and you say, all right, God, I understand what you're saying. And sometimes it's a still quiet voice. And sometimes it's somebody else speaking to us that God has told them to speak. Right? We've all heard from God. If you believe in God and you have faith in God, you've heard from God. He doesn't leave any of us alone. It's so here was Abraham, 100 years old, 25 years later from when God first promised him. And God came back and he said, Abraham, I made you a promise. And Abraham says, yeah, we did something about that, God. I now have an heir. I wish I had my own. I wish that Sarah could have had one, but I have someone now. God says, my promise was this. And Sarah was in the background, and that's when she laughed. Because God said, I told you, you will have a son to Sarah. 25 years ago, I told you. I don't know about you, but if God tells me something and I have to wait 25 years, I've probably done a lot of finagling trying to get it to go. Right? Aren't we like that? We try to move along. God, you know, you're taking a little bit more time than we want. How about if we just speed this up a little bit? Well, here was Abraham, 25 years later, God says to him, I promised you. And Abraham says, I know. And I still believe God. I'm having my doubts sometimes. Circumstances in life like 25 years and I'm now 100. Oh, by the way, Sarah's now 90. Huh? Anybody here 90? Huh? Anybody here 90? Over 90. God says you're going to have a kid next year. you're gonna have some questions and doubts, right? Sarah's standing back there in the sideline and she laughs under her, you know, in her mind. She's laughing. She's, Abraham's still believing God that God's making this promise. God was still the object of Abraham's faith. Sarah was still looking at her circumstances around her. And I want you to understand that the circumstances around us talks us into doubt. Okay? God will tell us something, and because of the circumstances, we start to doubt. That's one of those things that is part of us. When my mom got sick after we had to put her in the assisted living home and we didn't want to do it. A week after we did it, they shut everything down. We couldn't even go visit. But we were dealing with things as they came along. And I could see my mom digressing quickly. To one point, and I told you before, is I called her on the phone, and she said, "Who is this?" And I said, "Denny." She said, "Who?" I wanted to say Judy's husband, but I said, "Your son?" And she said, "I don't have a son." Her mind was starting to shut down along with her body. Judy and I had we had talked to Mom about her salvation. My daughter had talked to her about her salvation. She never actually said, "I'm ready to go to be with God." She always feared death. And now she's doesn't even recognize me. I went in. She doesn't recognize me to the hospital. She doesn't recognize Judy. And Satan wants to put a doubt in your mind and saying, "Well, she's not ready." Huh? Because I never really heard. And we went in Saturday to visit her. She was in the hospital. We went in to visit her. And I said to the hospital, I said, "I want my wife to go in with me." They said, "Well, we only allow the caretaker to go in." I said, "My wife has been more the caretaker to her than me." And so we went in. And we were there, and she was, you could tell she still wasn't thinking right. But I said, "Mom," I said, "Are you ready to go to be with the Lord?" And she looked at me with clarity in her mind, and she said, "Yes, I am. I'm ready to go." God gave me that sense of comfort in knowing. And the next week, every time we called or visited, she had no clue who we were. He gave her one moment of clarity to give us that answer. You know, that's how faith works. That's how God works. It's our faith in God, not our faith. Our faith can be little. If it's directed at God, it can do a lot. Our faith can be shaky, but if it's directed at God, it can accomplish things. See, it's where your faith is directed. And so what Abraham learned was, I will direct my faith to God. I will believe God. The negative experiences, the circumstances, has caused us to say, I said this last week. One of the statements you hear a lot, "I'll believe it when I see it." You ever make that statement? Huh? You ever make that statement, "I'll believe it when I see it"? You know? I'd probably make that statement if God told me I was going to get $1 million. "I'll believe it when I see it." Faith that's directed in God says, "I'll see it when I believe it." Abraham believed it, and he saw it, didn't he? Oh, by the way, a year after that event, who had a baby? 91-year-old Sarah. Huh? 91-year-old Sarah. God had made a promise. God had told him. And Abraham's faith was in the object of God. He trusted. He had conviction in the trustworthiness and the truth of God. And so as he directed that faith to God, God kept the promise. Faith must have, not like the thin ice faith must have a solid foundation. And that's what Paul was saying when he said, look, Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. It was a solid foundation in God. He trusted God. And so you look at that. Here was Abraham. He had faith. And did he benefit from that faith? Sarah had a son at the age of 91. Did he benefit in that faith? Absolutely. He benefited. Do you think that over that 25 years that a lot of things came and challenged his faith in believing that? Huh? I would say so. But, you know, faith that's built on a solid foundation will strengthen. That's the first thing you got to realize. Is you want to strengthen your faith? You want to say, I want strong faith? Focus on God. God is the thing that the object that we should be focused on. The conviction that God is truthful, that he is trustworthy, that he will do as he promised, no matter what. That's why, you know, we look at this past election, and I know we got turmoil. I'm still trusting that God is going to lead our country no matter what. Okay? I remember a time. I wasn't there. Okay, I just remember from reading about the time. I wasn't there. When there was a guy hanging on a cross. And who was celebrating? Satan was celebrating, wasn't he? He was celebrating. He says, I've won. I've won. Hey, you guys all thought that Jesus was going to be your Savior. You guys all thought, I won. He's dead. Right? 3 days later, he raised from the dead. And so, you look at all those people that were there. Where's their faith? Their faith has to be in God. If their faith was in the fact that Jesus was alive, when he died, what the foundation is shaken, isn't it? That foundation. Faith, when it's upon a firm foundation, will strengthen. Faith, when it's upon a firm foundation, grows into maturity. Okay? You know, that's why the saints can sit on this side and everybody else has to just kind of be, you know, right, Phyllis? That's right. You know, we grow to maturity. Faith exalts God. Faith exalts God. When our faith is in God, what did Abraham do? He rejoiced. He said, God's promised me a son. I'm going to have a son. And the angel of God says to Sarah, why are you laughing? Oh, because my faith isn't quite as strong as Abraham's. Abraham for 25 years worked on his faith, strengthening it, growing it to maturity, having it be a real part of his life. Faith exalts God. You're visibly, when you praise God, you are visibly announcing your confidence in God. You're saying, I'm praising God. Have you ever praised God for what he's going to do and not what he's already done? That's your confidence in God, isn't it? That's faith that is growing and maturing and getting better. God has the power to do what he says he will do. Faith enables us to see God's power. Imagine you're walking in a desert. You've been in this desert for quite a while with no water. You're thirsty. Okay? Everybody with me in the desert, right? You're thirsty. You come up to a well in the desert. And your mind starts, a well, I hope it works. On the well, there's a note. The note says, there is a bottle of water buried at the foot of this pump. Take the bottle of water, put half of it, pour it in the pump to wet the leather. Leave it set for 2 minutes. Pour the rest of the bottle of water in the pump. And then pump the well. What are you going to do? You have two options there, don't you? Huh? I can do that Here I am in the desert. I haven't had any water for a while. I'm thirsty. I'm dying of thirst. I have a bottle of water. I have two choices to make, right? I can drink the water and know I'm going to survive. Or I can have faith in that, what that note says, that that well is going to produce if I dump this bottle of water into it. See, that's how faith is. In the avenue of faith, we have choices that we can make. And so the note ended up and it said, if you follow my instructions, you will get water. The well has never, ever gone dry. When you're done, fill the bottle up and put it back in the sand. Faith is believing and trusting completely. When you're trusting in that note and saying, I'm going to trust that this well is going to work and it's going to do it, and I'm going to pour all the water out of the bottle into that well, you're exercising faith, aren't you? You're exercising faith. When that faith is entirely focused on God, now you are growing. Now you are going to see the miracles that God has promised. Now you're going to see what Abraham saw. We have to be faithful to the written promises of God. He promised that through Christ he would redeem us. Do you believe it? There's a lot of people out in this world that don't believe that, right? He promised that he would redeem us through Christ. He promised that he would provide a way to heaven, to his throne, through Christ. And yet, what happens in our lives is we kind of want to be like Sarah. And we go back to the thought of, God, maybe I better take control of this situation because you're not working fast enough to suit me. And our faith now becomes looking at an object that is not God. When we pray for someone's healing and it's not happening, do we get dejected? Do we say, see, God, you're not responding? If that person passes away and they're a Christian, they've been healed. You know what I mean? God's ultimate healing is eternity with him. We don't have that pain. Abraham had a basis for his faith. The basis of his faith was that he totally believed in God. If we totally believe in God, if we totally trust in him and his word, if we totally put our faith in what his promises are there, and I challenge you, go through the Bible and read all the promises. He's promised so much that we aren't even touching. We aren't even touching anything. You know, what did he say? He said, if our faith was the size of a grain of mustard seed, we'd do what? We'd move a mountain. Why? As Abraham learned, where was his faith? If we had faith in God and God said, I'm going to move the mountain, and we have faith, are we going to go move? Are we going to go start digging? Huh? No. See, if we go start digging, we're trying to help God. God doesn't need us to help fulfill his promises. He needs us to believe in those promises. God will stand behind his word. Every day, every moment of every day, for every believer that trusts in him, God will stand on his word. Do you have faith? Do you want to have more faith? If you want to have more faith, believe more in God. Because see, when you believe, you'll see it. When you believe it, you'll see it. Abraham believed it. 25 years after he was told He saw, well, it'd be 26, because he was reminded at 100. Right? 25 years. How many of you are willing to wait 25 years for an answer from God? I'll be honest. Right now, I'm not willing to wait 25 years for an answer from God because I don't think I have 25 years left. You know? I always say I'm 68 years old, and everybody, all the men in my family died, all but two of them in my mom's family, and died before the age of 60. Not good odds, since there was 12 that died before the age of 60. I never figured I was going to be here this long. And if God makes me a promise and I got to wait 25 years from now, I'll be like Abraham. I'll be an old goat. Wait a minute. If I believe in the promise, what happens? God says, God said it. I believe it. And leave it there. Don't try to help him. Because trying to help God is not increasing your faith. That is, the Hebraic expression is, my faith is stronger because I'm supporting. No, my faith is stronger because I'm believing. My faith is stronger because I'm believing. When you hear from God, maybe someone will hear from God this week. I'm not going to promise you it's going to be a blast of a trumpet and a sounding, you know. Although I would, I'm like Joanne. If God wants to blow the trumpet and Jesus wants to come through the air, I'm right okay with that. Right? I'm ready. I'm ready. My biggest worry is not about me, but I look at the nation today and I worry about our children and our grandchildren. And what they're going to have to deal with. But you know what? God's promise is that if they believe, all his promises will be for them also. If they believe. So, Abraham's faith was not the Hebraic faith. And I could show you, you know, I told you Aaron and Ur went in there and supported Moses. And that was one of the places where the Hebrew faith word was used. It's not, Abraham's faith was not a Hebrew faith of supporting. Abraham's faith was the object. And his faith was God. And he said, I will trust and believe in you, God, no matter what. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to fear. I will trust and believe in you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can have the faith of Abraham, which leads to righteousness. Now, we know our righteousness only comes through you, not through ourselves. And so as we look at faith, is we become more like you when we believe more in you. And so, God, I pray this morning that we can exercise our faith and we can put it upon that foundation of God and focus only on you. And that through that, we will see mighty things happen. We have faith that you are going to be amidst in our nation. We have faith to believe that you still can save. We have faith to believe that you can heal. But God, help us to focus our faith only on you. Unlike Peter, let us not take our eyes off and look at the situation or the circumstances. Let us keep focused upon you as Abraham did. And know that your promises are true. And that your promises are for each one of us. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be here today. Pray that you'll be with each one that's traveling, that each one that didn't make it today. We pray that you'll be with the families as they travel, especially. We pray that you'll be with Phyllis's family as they travel back to Alabama. We pray that you'll give them mercies of safe travel, Lord. We thank you that you care about our everyday things. And that when we trust and believe, and our conviction is the fact that we will believe in the truthfulness of God, mighty things will happen in our midst. Be with us this week. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.